Hallelujah. What a blessing. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning. Guide us by your mighty Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I want to share with you about, yesterday I was sharing with you about nuclear weapons, the anointing, and also I want to share with you about how to activate these nuclear weapons, which is the anointing. Now, one of the main ways to put fire into the anointing is to honor the anointing. And in my little book here, the Anointed and His Anointing. All right? I have a little message there. Now, number one is where the anointing is not honored, it does not work. Mark 6, verse 5, Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house." All right? And he could there do no mighty work. So if you want to do mighty works, you need to have an anointing that is on it. Not just an anointing that is on it. Right? So we need to be having with us not a great anointing, but an anointing that is on it. This is the main point I'm trying to make. It's not just about having somebody who is anointed or being anointed, but an anointing that is honored. All right? Now, the main places where the anointing is not honored are your own country, your own relatives, and your own home. These are the three traditional spots where anointing exists, but is not honored, and therefore is not active. All right? So there, Jesus Christ could do no mighty works. And this, what he means by no mighty works is just laying hands on a few people and healing a few sick folk. That's equal to no mighty works. When you are not doing mighty works, you just lay hands on a few. And some of us don't even lay hands, but Jesus was laying hands on a few folk and healing a few. There were some testimonies. Few testimonies is equal to no mighty work. When you are not mighty in ministry, you just lay hands on a few folk and you don't have many testimonies. You have some few testimonies. Or am I reading a different Bible? How many want to do mighty works? Now, Jesus said, a prophet is not... Now, this is Mark chapter 6. I think you know how the Bible goes. Jesus went to the wilderness. He was tempted. I think that is chapter 4. Right. So, this is just 6. He's just come from the wilderness. He's anointed. He's been baptized. All that. He's not able to do much. Because he is, the anointing of the prophet is not being honored. Right? Now, one of the characteristics of places where the ministry is not working well is that pastors are not honored. And the prophet is not honored. So the gift he carries is not working well. Do you see? Yes. How do you say it? It's like gas, or like, you know, when they were going to put the atomic bomb on the people, what they did was they had disconnected, some parts were disconnected. So the guy who would connect the thing was in the plane. So when they got near, then because it was dangerous to take off with it like that. So when they took off, then he went into the bomb, put the things together, screwed them all together, and set it. And then it was ready. So it can be there, but it will never go off. And it will never really work. Do you see? So that is very important for us to understand if you want to be in the ministry. Now, it's important for two people to understand this. Who are the two people? The prophet or the pastor must understand this rule. And then the people must also understand it. You know, both people must understand. If you are a minister, you must know that you can be very anointed, but it will never really work. You know, you never even know that you are powerful. You never know that you are powerful because you are only working in three places. And these three places are in Jerusalem. Your ministry has four phases: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of them. Every ministry has four phases. Your ministry has four phases. If you don't know, I'm showing you a pattern that is in the Bible. Your ministry has four phases. Jesus' ministry had four phases: Jerusalem, Judea. Oh, not Jesus' ministry, the ministry of the disciples. He said, you go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost. Jesus himself had four phases in his ministry. The first was Nazareth, where he was born. Then Capernaum, where he grew up. Then Galilee, Nazareth, where he grew up. Bethlehem, where he was born. Nazareth, where he grew up. Capernaum, which was his headquarters, where he had his ministry. When you go to Israel, there's a house there in Capernaum. You know, it doesn't exist anymore, but there's a little place there. So this is Jesus' headquarters by the Sea of Galilee. And if you go to Israel, you understand these places. Because when you don't go to Israel, you hear the word Nazareth, Capernaum, Galilee, Jerusalem. It sounds like the same place, but it's not the same place. So he's born in Bethlehem. Then he comes to Nazareth, which is near Galilee, and he grows up there. And he's not accepted there. When you go to Nazareth, they show you a cliff, you know, because it has some high cliffs. And they were showing this where, you know, they took Jesus to a place, wanted to throw him over. Yeah, there's that place is there. Okay, so you also get to see that. And then he went to Capernaum, which was around Galilee, the villages around the lake. And that's where his big, mighty works were done. Bethsaida, Chorazin, those were the towns around the lake. All right, are you here? Yeah. All right. And then at the end of his ministry, he was killed in Jerusalem, which is where he accomplished the greatest work, to shed his blood. So he had four phases: to be born, which is to start, then to grow up and go through the preparation, which is Nazareth, then after that, where he was really doing the mighty works, and then the last phase, where he did an eternal work. He did a work that lasted forever, which was in Jerusalem. All right. So that was four phases. Then the disciples, he told them, you go from Jerusalem, you go to Judea, you go to Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So that's also four phases of ministry. Then if you look at what the Bible says about the early rain, it says, his going forth is prepared, and he shall come to you as the rain, as the early rain and the latter rain. When you look at the seasons that it divides your life into, it divides your life into four seasons: the early rain, then before the early rain where you plant, then the early rain which makes it the harvest, the things start to grow, and then after that the long stretch where it grows, and then the latter rain which makes it mature, and then the harvest. So that divides your life also into four. Then there's the four seasons of that. In Genesis 8, verse 22, it talks about the four seasons: that summer, winter, you know, seed time, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, and the seasons. It will not cease. So the four seasons also divide your life into four. So you generally see that there are four seasons. And apart from all that, Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin and told him that his ministry had four phases. And he told him, he said, on March, whatever, you entered the second phase of your ministry. And you were in that phase for only 11 months. And he said you were faithful. Then you moved to the third phase. And you've been in that phase for a long time, for some time. And in the, at the end of your life, you moved to the fourth phase of your ministry. So there are four phases, all right? So most people stay, according to Jesus, to Kenneth Hagin in that vision, most pastors, most ministers don't even enter the first phase of their ministry. They don't even enter the first phase. Why do you say that? Because when the disciples were sent out to preach, to teach in Matthew 10, they preached, and they were not yet in ministry. They didn't even have the Holy Spirit. So you can be preaching and teaching, but you've not yet entered the first phase of your ministry. And sometimes you are not even in the will of God. You see? So sometimes the preaching and the teaching are preparation for you to enter. So people don't enter. And sometimes they enter and they don't move on. He says, so when you don't move on, you end up being stuck with preaching to your own kin, which is your relatives, your own house, which is your wife and children, and then your own country, which is South Africa. There, mostly, you are not honored so much. And your big anointings don't show up. Do you see? Yes. Now, no matter how anointed you are not, you can't do better than Jesus. So if Jesus was not honored in his own country, I want you to know that your level of ministry is how, like the effect of your ministry today is the effect of an honored ministry, if there's a word like that. Like, this is how you are in the non-honored stage. Can you imagine what it would be like if you were in the honored stage? Can you imagine how greater it would be if you are moving to the places where you are honored? Yes. So this is your non-honored version. This is the non-honored version of you. Yeah. When I started a healing ministry, give me a bit of volume, please. Help me. When I started with the healing ministry, you know, we prayed for the sick and all that. And a bit of, otherwise I have to shout. It would affect me. So give me volume, please. When I started with the healing ministry, you know, I prayed for the people. Hey, just a few sick folk were healed. And Jesus told Kenneth Hagin in his vision that they were just minor ailments. In fact, one of the versions says with minor ailments, headaches and few pains. Yes. I remember, you know, I used to have conventions in my church, healing conventions, healing programs. And I had one called the healing anointing for almost seven days. It was every night, healing anointing. Hardly anybody was healed. The last day, one person, and I was preaching about healing. Yeah, it's not like I was preaching on something else and then, you know. Yeah. Hardly anybody was healed. On the last day, somebody came and said an electric cable had gone into his eye and had become blind. And then had been healed. That was the last day and almost the last person. So I was quite encouraged. And a brother came to sit by me after service and said he believes that God was encouraging me with that miracle. Yes. Yes. So shortly after that, I was invited to Colombia. Few weeks or months after that. And I went to Colombia to preach. And I wasn't even, I was going to speak maybe once. But the host, he owned a radio station and was able to gather the whole city into the stadium. Yeah, it's a pastor. He gathered the whole, everybody was in this huge stadium with two or three levels. You know, we have stadiums with small, one level, and then two, then three. So this was like three. Huge. And he asked me to preach on the first day. I don't remember what I preached about, but I preached about healing, you know, Jesus. And then miracles, many, many miracles happened. Yeah. After my interpreter told me, you are now the main speaker for the rest of the crusade. Which I didn't know. I didn't know. You don't understand. They are always speaking Spanish. You don't know what they are saying. They are always talking a lot. I don't know what they are saying. And one of them was the decision that I was now the main speaker. Yeah. And for 5 days, I saw what I've never seen before. Like I told you, I just finished a convention, healing anointing, and hardly anybody was healed, except the last day in that guy with the cable that went for encouragement. Because I was in my own country, and I was in my own home, and I was with my own kin. So you, how you are, is the non-honored version. The unhonored pastor is you. Now, in South Africa, many pastors are not honored. Many of you are not honored. I'm telling you. When you go to a place, you can see when the pastor is honored or is not honored. Yeah. And many South African pastors are not honored. By the people. So many pastors here honor themselves. Are you still around or you are leaving? So many pastors honor themselves. So you see a pastor here, he's driving a beautiful Mercedes Benz or a Jaguar or staying, yes, black one, or staying in a beautiful house, have a very high salary, higher than whatever, and they honor themselves. Yes, honor thyself. But you see, that is not the same as when you are on it. It's not the same as when the people honor you or your sons honor you. It's different from when you honor yourself, and it doesn't have the same effect at all. Doing things for yourself is different from when it's being done for you as honor. Because if you look at John 8, check 50, verse 54, it says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Yes. So, many pastors look like they've honored, but they had to rise up and honor themselves. Honor myself ministries. Rise up and then do things for yourself. Glorify yourself. Give yourself a big title. Give yourself a big car. Give yourself the best salary, since nobody is going to honor you with an offering. better just get yourself a very good salary to put yourself in a good category. Yes. Yes. Get yourself the best car so that everyone will see this, the pastor arriving in his Mercedes S class or BMW 8 or 9 series. Or Jaguar. I mean, honor yourself. Do it for yourself. DIY. Do it yourself. DIY honor. Arise and honor yourself. But it says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. It has the power is zero. Yes. Taking the highest salaries and the best cars and the best whatever does not have the effect that it should have had on your life and your ministry to activate the anointing. It's true. Yeah. Because you have to honor yourself. Yeah. You have to rise up and, hey, I'm the CEO. I'm just, you know, you say, well, a church has a pastor, a company has a CEO or a managing director, and I'm like the managing director and the chief executive of the church, so I deserve this. When comparable salary with the world, I should have a Mercedes Benz, and I should have this, and this one has that, and you do some calculations, and you honor yourself. And nobody honors you in your congregation. Yeah. Nobody honors you. And when you talk about honor, you know, you may say, what is honor? Honor is very important. It's the element that activates the anointing. Even me, I go to places and I can sense I am not honored. You know, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back. There are a lot of places I don't want to go back to. And the main reason is not about anything else, but about that you are honored. The anointing is honored there. Are you still around or you are? Amen. You know, one day I met with, what is his name? Benny Hinn. And I honored him with an offering. And he said to me, you are the second person who's doing this to me. You know, and I thought to myself, you know, do you think that he doesn't have a house or a beautiful house or a beautiful car? You know, he probably has a good salary, high salary, this, that, and so on. But the people in America, they don't. And the other person he told me was not an American. He actually told me the name of the other person. And I wouldn't tell you who that person is. But it's not America. And where the anointing is not honored, and you have to honor yourself, so I'm worth this house, I'm worth this car, I'm worthy of this, I'm worthy of this salary, my equal to that. You know, pastors in South Africa, you see, when you are not honored, you know, it's as if there's no anointing, as if you are not anointed. Look at Jesus. Just a few verses later, he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. Meanwhile, he couldn't heal backaches. He couldn't heal headaches. Just a few people were healed. But a few days later, when he went to Mary and Martha and people that honored him, come and see the power. Same Jesus, oh. Same Jesus. And he did a miracle, not in church. He did a miracle outside church. didn't go to church to do the miracle. He met people who honored him. Where the anointing is honored, that's where. Whether it's church, outside church, wherever it is, it works. He just flowed. That's the Mary which, he says, which poured the oil on him. In John 11, he explained which Mary it was. In case you are confused, at the beginning, John 11 at the top there, 1, 2, 3, there, he says there was Mary and whatever. And then he explained that this is the Mary. It was that Mary. John 11 at the beginning, right at the beginning. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment. Not an ordinary Mary. The Mary who anointed him with ointment. Not Mary Smith or Mary John, Mary Jones or Mary whatever. The Mary with the anointing. Whatever her name was. The Mary who anointed him and ointed. That's the one. That's where he go to do miracles. John 11 is the chapter of Lazarus. You should know the miracles in the Bible. The miracles in John. There are only four. One, the nobleman's son. Five is the pool of Bethesda. When you go to Jerusalem, one of the places you have to go to is the pool of Bethesda. It's just next to the Lion Gate. Yeah. That's one of the clear miracles of Jesus. Pool of Bethesda one. Then John 9, the blind man who said that, what I know is I couldn't see and I can see. And then John 11 is Lazarus. There are only four in the book of John. Only four miracles. It's different from the Matthew, Mark, and Luke ones. They are not recorded there. So John, you should know the miracles. And 11 is Lazarus. Are you still around? Yes. So when we talk of Lazarus and miracles and Mary and that family, he explained it's the Mary who anointed. I mean, Jesus must have felt special. Yes. It's not about money. The thing was being poured on his feet. She was kissing him. She was kissing his feet. I mean, even in marriage, many people stop kissing. After some time, they don't kiss. Many men are wishing they could be kissed. Oh, Lord, when I'm going to receive another kiss, Lord. It's been 14 years. Hey! Kisses are... It's like it's his past. Now he comes and this lady is just all over him. Hey! Jesus was so happy. You'll be happy. You know? And then, later when there was a crisis, there was a problem. Yeah. When he heard that Lazarus is dead. What happened? Oh, malaria. Wow. I'll be there. And I'll do it in a way that you know that it's not an ordinary miracle. Yeah. But the first time he raised somebody from the dead, he said he wasn't dead, really. Lazarus, Jairus' daughter. When he went to the house and raised him, people were saying that he wasn't dead. He was just sleeping. The second time, they were on the way to the funeral. The city of Nain. That one too, they said he wasn't really dead. He woke up on the way. So this time, Jesus said, you know, you'll be buried first. When you are really buried for 4 days, then let me come and do. So I don't want controversies. Too much argument about one miracle I'm doing. So he waited for 4 days for the body to start dissolving. And he came to do that miracle. Is it not amazing? So honoring yourself. Jesus did not take oil and pour on his feet and start kissing himself. I am great. Yes. It was not a DIY honor. It was not do it yourself. Somebody came without being provoked. Being told anything, she came voluntarily on her own and started honoring him, unprovoked honor. It's different. You go to preach somewhere and you say, for me to come is $200,000 up front. You pay before I come. There are places like that. It's not even that I've given a low figure. $200,000. Pay. Yeah. One pastor, he invited a man of God and he gave him the bill up front. Pay $200,000. And he paid because he wanted the gentleman to come. So he paid. So the pastor decided to invite him. So he called him after he went, paid, the man came and he was also invited. He asked him, you know, how much is your, do we have to pay to your account before you come? He said, oh, nothing. Wow. I'm blessed to come. Whatever you want to honor me with, it's fine, but there's no charge. Wow. Yeah. Listen, John 8:54. If I honor myself, if I honor myself, it is nothing. Huh? Yes. If I honor myself, it's very different. If you are married and you have to tell your spouse, please touch me. Then they touch you. Please touch this other part also. Then they touch that other part. Is it nothing? It is nothing. It's nothing. I have to tell you, I am worth 5,000 rands per hour of preaching. I'm honoring myself. And it's nothing. But if you feel that I'm worth 5,000 rands per second, on your own, that's honor. Amen. So yeah, so I see in South Africa a lot of pastors are not honored. No, you honor yourselves. Like you are forced to honor yourself because no one is honoring you. Like no, it's not that you are greedy or that no one honors you. No one even respects you. Your churches are not showing you the love and the honor. So you are forced to just compare yourself with the chief executive of this other organization and say, well, I'm also worth this. And if this one has this car, I should also have this car. I'm not going to drive a Hyundai. I'm driving a BMW. Enough of Hyundais. I'm moving into Mercedes-Benz and Jaguars and Porsche. I drive a Porsche. Hey. Isaiah 43. Look at Isaiah 43. Look at Isaiah 43, verse 22. But thou, we are going all the way, so make it smaller. Thou hast not called upon me, but thou hast been wary of me, O Jacob, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings. Huh? Neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. You haven't honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering. I have not forced you to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Verse 44. Thou hast brought me no cane with money. Huh? God, this is what God is saying. Those who want to know what is honor, you've not brought me money. Cane, sweet cane with money. Neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. Fat is all the rich part. That's why pork is nice, because of the fat. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thy iniquities. It's like instead of honoring God, we've brought God our sins and problems and so on. Yes. Wearied me. Put it, change the version. Let's see. Change the version. You've not brought me sweet cane with money. You've not filled me with the fat of your sacrifices. Rather, you have burdened me with your sins. Pastors in South Africa are burdened with the problems and the sins of the congregation. Counseling, advising, praying, visiting, going for funerals, hospital. You burden the pastor, but you wouldn't bring and honor them. Look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. You didn't. Thou hast. No, no, I want an American, please. You have not called on me. You have been wary. You become wary of me. Verse 23. You've not brought me the sheep of your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings, nor wearied you with incense. Even God does not even put a burden on you. Huh? You brought me no sweet cane with money. Can you change it to a Message Bible or some one of those Bibles? You didn't even do the minimum. So stingy with me. So close-fisted. Yet you haven't been stingy with your sins. You've been plenty generous with them, and I'm fed up. You didn't even do the minimum. Many pastors don't get the minimum honor. And your anointing is not working, I'm telling you. You see, this message is for the congregation and also for the pastor. And I'm telling you, because when I finish preaching, you are going to have to take some decisions. Yes. The congregation is going to have to take a decision to honor your pastors and the prophets that God gives to you. You have to take that decision. Number two, the pastor and the minister has to take the decision to teach the congregation to honor their pastor, which is yourself. You have to teach them, because many times people don't know what to do. And you know, you can't employ somebody to do that for you. You may have occasionally a pastor who will come and say all the things for you. You may have somebody. But many times no one is prepared to stand and really go to town. Yeah. Because when you do that, you sometimes are in conflict with the congregation. And the congregation are shocked by the message that you are teaching them to honor their pastor and to do what is right. And you collide with the congregation. Although the pastor will like it, but a lot of the people in the church don't like it. Yes. And if you, the pastor, are not prepared to be strong to also teach it, it will never be established in the church. And you will always be dishonored, I tell you. Look, people don't honor naturally. Naturally, people forget. They even discount what you do for them. When you pray for someone, but it's nothing. But I could have prayed for myself. Well, if I'd been in any other church, they would have prayed for me. And it's not even your prayers which have, it's the grace of God. But you also have a problem. Why don't you pray for yourself? Have your problem all been answered? Who told you that it was your prayers which worked? They will trivialize and reduce your contribution to nothing. It's called absurdio reductio. Absurdio reductio. Reduce it to absurdity. Reduce your contribution to absurdity. It's called absurdio reductio in law. I'll minimize you. Trivialize you. You are nothing. Your prayer, what is your prayers? Have you prayed for yourself, by the way? The personal problems you have they been solved with your prayers? Why do you think your problem, you could not solve your problem, and you think your prayers will solve my problems? This is how people think. This is how people talk. If you like, leave them to themselves, they will never honor you. Yeah. So you must stand up and teach them. Not that you need it, because you can take the honor yourself. But it's very different when people on their own rise up and give you honor. Then it is something. Yes. Look at it. You didn't do the minimum. Minimum. So stingy with me. So close-fisted. Malachi 1:8. What does it say? Malachi. Verse 8.
It's a word.
Malachi 1, 8. If you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? Huh? You offer the lame and the sick. Is it not evil? Offer it now to your governor and see whether he will be pleased with thee or accept thee. Amen. See whether he will accept thee or accept your persons. If I am your father, if I am your whatever, where is my honor? A son honoreth his father. Where is my honor? Where is my honor? Where is the honor? Where is the honor? All right? So no honor and honoring yourself is not working for you as a minister. And nobody can do it. It's a hard thing sometimes to do it. But you have to do it. Amen. It may be a very provocative message, but you have to. It may be offensive, but you have to do it. Hey. But the tragedy is that you will have a big power and anointing and they will not receive. Then another prophet will come from outside town. Huh? And him they will honor. Oh, you've not seen that? People come from outside and they honor him. Because he preaches in a way to let you know that, look, you must honor me. And that's when the power is going to work. He says it. They say it.
Yeah.
They openly tell you. That's so. They tell you, glory to God. You can take your offering to the church for a receipt, or you can bring it to me for a blessing. Like you can take your offering to church, put it in the offering bowl, and you just get a receipt. But if you bring it to me, you'll get a blessing. Wow. The people hear that, they say, wow, I want a blessing. I'm going to take my offering to the guy. Many of these people, you go to their houses, you see cars parked there. Different types of cars. This one was given to, this is a hammer, it was given to him by Mr. So-and-so. This one, Mr. So-and-so, who is a member of whatever parliament or whatever, brought me this Mercedes Benz. This sister, who is a businessman, I prayed for him. And then he brought me a Jaguar. I don't know why. Whenever I pray for people, the blessing comes on their life. I don't know why. Blessings just keep flowing. And they will have different cars. Oh, you don't have that in South Africa? Yeah. But you see, we pastors, we are not teaching humbly through these things. Because look, the Bible says that they strike the shepherd, the sheep was scattered. It said that Jesus looked and saw the sheep, they were like sheep scattered because there was no shepherd. Not that there was no prophet, there was no shepherd. It's the shepherd that keeps the flock, gathers the people, looks after the people. He didn't say there was no prophet, he said there was no shepherd. How important is a shepherd? But the shepherds, we must also know that these are part of the word of God for us to teach. You can't dissociate yourself from that message as well. It's part of the scripture. It's part of the things we are to teach. May I teach my children? I teach them to honor. I say, you honor me. And I'm teaching the younger ones more because the older ones, many of the older ones have not benefited from the anointing that is on my life because I didn't teach them to honor me. Yes. I taught them to generally honor. Yes. Yeah. I even told the pastors, honor yourselves. The Galatians 6. Honor yourselves. And people don't benefit. An anointing that can take you from a classroom to a worldwide ministry. Multi-million dollar ministry. Yes. It's a power that is at work. Few Africans. I may be the whatever leading author in Africa, I don't know. Ever. Yes. Yeah. You don't know. It's not a normal thing. And people don't benefit. And there's no debts. There's no struggle. So even the business people, many of them, they've not benefited. Because I wouldn't talk that way. I'll say, oh, whatever, you can do whatever you want. That's how pastors are. You know, they have a different, more like a meek spirit, not wanting to place demands on people. Even when, as a pastor, you take it off, you feel sorry for the people. You feel, you know, he doesn't even have money. You know, your heart is always broken for the people. It's like they can't even give, you know. You even want to give them. It's true. That's why sometimes when people give offering, I say, look, if you change your mind, it's a blessing. Don't worry. You can change your mind. I don't want the stress. Because you care for the people in it. A shepherd has a type of heart that he adopts people's problems as if he has a problem himself. That's a shepherd. So a shepherd doesn't easily stand and say, by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet, he preserved him. By me, you are preserved. And by me, you are brought out of Egypt. Today, you are coming out of every bondage to the anointing on my life. As you sow into this ministry, into my life, it's activated over your life. Take it one. Take it two. Take it three. Take it four. See, pastors don't talk like that.
We are learning.
Pastors don't sound so authoritative. So then we leave our congregations. And then a prophet comes from somewhere. And then he stands and he tells you, I don't know why. I don't know why. When people sow into my life, miracles happen. Last week, somebody sold a Mercedes-Benz into my life. He had a contract for 150 million. I don't know why it happens. Yesterday, a lady came and sold a seed of 20 million. And after that, God opened the door for her. She had a contract of 20 billion. I don't know why. I don't know why. Tell somebody, I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why.
I don't
know why. I don't know why. Anytime people sow seeds in my life, they are blessed. I don't know why. I just don't know why. I can't explain it. It's mysterious. So, pastors, I am telling you, after this meeting, go and teach the people to honor Galatians 6:6. Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught, not prophesied, taught in the word. Anyone who teaches you, communicate unto him in all good things, including cars, houses, lands, sweet cane. Hey, it's going to happen to you practically. Amen. Amen. Wow. What a blessing. It's going to happen to you practically. Amen. Teaching is powerful. And you must honor the one who is teaching you. Because teaching brings great blessings and revelation. Amen. Amen. Are you excited? Amen. Are you excited? Amen. Do you want to know more about honoring? Amen. Are you sure? Amen. Do not honor the anointed with worthless things. Malachi 1 verse 8. Kenneth Hagin said, when he was traveling, ministering church, sometimes they would bring together all the old clothes that the church members couldn't wear and that were spoiled, without a button, without this, without, and they would bring it to him and his wife. And he would take them and tell his wife, throw it away. If it's not good for them, it's not good for us. Throw it away. You bring an old tie which even your grandfather will never wear because it is outdated. Say, Pastor, this is your tie. God bless you. One day somebody brought me a pair of blue boxer shorts. Blue boxer shorts. No, not a poor person. A very, very wealthy person. This was the present they were giving me. And not even a pack of four. One. Single one. I don't know whether it was a special one. I don't know. Maybe it was a special one. But when they are spending money on themselves, high class, teach the people. If I come to your church and I ever have a chance to do that, just promise me that you will not dissociate yourself from me. But if I had the chance, I would teach the people to honor you, to honor the pastor. Yes. I'll teach the people to honor you. Yes. It's for their blessing. It's not what you need. And you as a pastor, you are very important in your church. Your teachings are very important. Your teachings are very important. You must teach the people that you are a very powerful and important person to them. You know, God said in Jeremiah 3:15, he says, I will give you pastors. Like God chooses pastors to place over. So this is what I'm giving to you. I will give you pastors after my own heart. It's something that God chooses for you. And they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Not prophecies of you are going to get 2 billion or you are going to get 1 billion, but teachings with knowledge and understanding. Teach the people that is very important. Your contribution is changing their lives. Don't allow. You are a gift. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear ye, all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you. While ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, go to verse 1. The Spirit of God, this is a prophet speaking. All right? He's prophesying. Go back to verse 2. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Verse 3. Now notice. For a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest. A teaching priest. And without law. This is a big problem that happened to them. Verse 4. But when they in their trouble did turn to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. Verse 5. But in those times when there was no teaching priest. Look at the problem that is happening. Without a teaching priest, like a pastor who teaches, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. There's no peace because there was no teaching priest. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. No teaching priest. Listen, look at it. Great vexations. No peace to anybody coming in, going out. I mean, the teaching priest was the one who was driving away the lack of peace and vexations. And the members must know the power of a teaching priest who God has appointed over them. And honor the person. And as the person is on, he's taking away vexations and the lack of peace.
Oh my God.
Well, upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation and city of city. For God did vex them with all adversity. All this from the lack of a teaching priest. Huh? Oh, you are not satisfied yet. I'm showing you scriptures after scriptures for a long season. Israel was without a teaching priest. A priest who teaches. Somebody who teaches. They were without this person. And what was happening? Vexations. In those times, there was no peace. You people don't know the value of a teaching priest or a pastor. A priest prays and teaches. A priest is always interceding for you. God save them. God help them. God be with them. Do something. Look after the little ones. Help them. Give them husbands. Give them wives. Give them children. Save their life. And at the same time, he's teaching. A teaching priest. Wow. In those times, there was no peace. To him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. Yeah. You know, when I talk about honoring God's servant, you know, you may not know the value till you lose the person. Yes. Then you see that, no, our whole life was being guided. The minimum peace that we were having was it was all through this teaching priest. Where you see, teaching is like water and like air. Till you don't have it, you don't know how it's holding you up. You don't even know that it's holding you up. Oh. Now I want you to, you see, I'm tired of South African pastors honoring yourselves. I want your people to honor you. I'm tired of you honoring you. You have to take out your best this, honor yourself with this, honor. John 8, 53. He said, if I honor myself, it is nothing. Yeah, 54. If I honor myself, is that? You are honoring yourself. It's nothing. You've taken the best Jaguar. If the people had even bought that Jaguar for you, or even given you an offering, buy whatever car. You, sometimes you can see that they have tried. Maybe they cannot pay for whatever. Do you see they've done their best? One of my church members, you know, when I was, she was a medical student. She came to me. She went home. She was not from any rich home. She went home. She came back from home. And when she went home, all that she had was a loaf of bread and a tin of Milo. Do you know Milo? Do you have Milo in Milo? Milo? A tin of Milo? A tin of Milo? Is that how you call it? A tin of Milo? Milo? Yeah. We call it Milo. Yeah. So when she came back to school, she came to me. She said, I don't have anything. This is what I have. When I went home, this is all that. They had no money for me. They had nothing. They had this Milo, one tin of Milo, and a loaf of bread. And she gave it to me. I didn't need it, but I was touched up till today. I was in school then. I was a pastor then. Yeah, I'm still being touched. It comes to my mind. If I'm talking about this, it will come to my mind. Not somebody who gave me. There are people who have given me money. Dollars and what have you. This one is what comes to my mind. Yeah, because you can see that the person has nothing. And is giving you what she was giving. When she went home today, also they didn't have money for her. You know, some people go home and they don't have money. They come back without anything. Yeah. You will remember always many pastors you are honoring yourself and it has subtracted from the power, the beauty of your calling, the grace of God on your life. It's called honor myself. Hey. Are you still here? You are leaving. In those days, there was no teaching priest. You see, like I'm a teaching priest. I'm teaching pastors. It's like a priest. I'm teaching. And you see that you can't even have the confidence to read these scriptures. It's like when you see them in the Bible, it doesn't apply to you. But now I'm showing you that it applies to you. I'm showing you that it applies to you as a minister. Without law and vexation. I think the part you have to remember is great vexations. Great. Is it amazing? Pastors, do that. God will change your life, your ministry. Yeah. Teach the people. Honor the Lord. Honor his servants. Father, amen. 1 Samuel 2. Those that honor the anointing will be honored. Those that honor the anointing will be honored. Amen. Now notice. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I indeed at thy house and thy father's house, I said, your father's house should be this and that, but I've changed my mind. Be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Amen. Is it amazing? Them that honor me, I will honor. So God wants you to be honored, and God honors you when you honor the anointing and the anointed. Amen? Amen. Now, when your Christians in your church honor you, as a pastor, what's going to happen to them according to 1 Samuel 2 verse 30? What's going to happen to them? They will also be honored. How many want to have honored Christian members in your church? So when they honor the anointed, they themselves get honored. They that honor me, I will honor. If you respect God's servants and the anointed and the anointing, you will be honored. That is why I suggest to you, if you are watching a man of God and it is a problem to you, you want to start to criticize something you don't understand, your best bet is switch to National Geographic Channel. What will you find over there? Animals. Now, animals, if you criticize a lion, nothing is going to happen to you. If you criticize a giraffe, you know, nothing is going to happen to you. One day I was watching some lions who were trying to eat a giraffe. They surrounded the giraffe. I mean, all night, they couldn't bring down the giraffe. Now, you could have been criticizing this, that lion, that you are taking too long to do this. But the giraffe was very strong. I mean, it was kicking. It was, and you wouldn't want to be in the line of the kick of a giraffe. Even the lions were scared. It was getting to the morning that the male lions came around and helped to bring down the giraffe. But it took all night. Eight lions. They couldn't. So, the giraffe was very strong. So, you may criticize the giraffe, but nothing will happen to you. But touch not my anointed. Don't touch them with your tongues. Yes. Don't touch them. You'll be surprised. Yes. Learn to respect a person. Why? I've come to see in my small world of employing people that there are usually unseen reasons why somebody works for someone in my small world. Like my small life. Huh? Like if you see somebody works for me, you may not know why the person works for me. You may not know what the person does. And you may not know why. So, learn to shut up. Learn to shut up. One day, a certain brother came. He came to stay in my house. All right, for a few days. And one day he began to criticize. There's a young man who was serving him like a chef, looking after him and all that. And he began to criticize him. Oh, this guy is like this, he's like this, like that. And when he began to criticize him, I began to think in myself, then don't come to this house again. I don't want you here. Do you know what he does for me? When I come home at 3 a.m., he's never angry. He will get up. While the wife is asleep, he will be awake. If he cooks and there's too much salt or too much fish or too much air in the food, and you say something, he'll never be angry. Try doing that with your wife. You'll get an attitude, you'll be surprised. True or not true? So, as he was criticizing this guy, I was saying to myself, you see, because that's why you must be careful with someone has employed. There may be some reason you don't know about. An unseen reason. So when God is using a man of God, there may be some unseen reason why God likes this person and is using him. And you've got to be careful. Yes. You've got to be careful with God's servants. With anybody's servants. Yes. Just be careful. You know, when I became a Christian, I went to a church, Bishop Duncan Williams in Ghana. Many people criticized him for so many different things at different times. But one day the Lord showed me, you see this man? I called him. He went. I said, go. All the professors in the university, he has no education. Never been to school. When he says he doesn't have classmates, it's not that he's above people. Like, he has not been to school before. So there's no one like he sat in a classroom with. Huh? Literally. All the professors, the righteous people, those who never have any problem, those who never had any whatever, they wouldn't want to serve God. They wouldn't want to be ministers. They don't want to do all this kind of job, preaching. You speak, somebody will dissociate himself, say, go away, this, that. They don't want all these things. Just live a quiet life. Stay to yourself, read the newspapers, and criticize from your room. But you stand up, preach, do the work of God. People don't want to do that. And God said, I called him and he went. Last week, he was the one praying for Donald Trump. And he was the only African prayed for them. He prayed a powerful prayer for them, for their presidency, the minutes before. You can check on the internet, you see. Prayed powerful. I mean, why were you not called to pray? Huh? You've been to school. Why were you not called to pray? With all your degrees and all your whatnot. And your big English and what have you. Why were you not called? Somebody who hasn't been to school was called. So you got to be careful because you do not know why God likes certain people and chooses them. And you try touching them. And I've noticed I tend to dislike people who dislike people that work for me. Yeah. I tend to dislike them. When somebody works for me and I notice you don't like the person, I start to dislike you. It's like natural. Then I have to control myself not to dislike you. But it's like that's the natural reaction that I have. But you don't know what the person does for me. You don't know what the person does for me. So you be careful with people God has anointed. He has chosen and put his anointing on. You touch them. And you'll be surprised. You'll vanish from the earth to your amazement. Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah. I've seen people play the fool with men of God. And I've watched people die literally. Literally die to my... I mean, I couldn't believe what the news I was reading. More than once. More than twice. More than three times. Over and over. And I've learned. That's what one day I was watching television. I realized I wanted to criticize. That's what made me start to watch Animal Planet. Yes. That's how come I know so many things about animals. Yes. Because I realized that I'm safer watching these animals than watching a man of God and start to say things I shouldn't say. Safer. Are you still around or you are leaving? All right. So God is doing great things and God is saying, no more honoring yourself, which is equal to nothing. But let's teach the people to honor God's servants. Amen. And let us have honor in South Africa for the servants of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. What did Jesus say to the woman and about the woman who honored him in Mark chapter 14? He said, let's read from verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment. Isn't it? Alabaster box. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. So it is a good thing when you bestow love, sacrifices, expenses on God's servants. That's what activates, that's the honor. And what did Jesus say? Did Jesus rebuke her? Was Jesus angry with her? It's Judas who was the one who didn't like those things. Judas. The one who Jesus said it would have been better that he was not born. He is the only one who was angry with the honor that was done to Jesus. And he says, why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For the poor you always have, and whomsoever, whatsoever, whenever soever, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She has done what she could. And she is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burial. She has done what she could. Some of you, perhaps the only thing you can do in the house of God is to honor God's servant. Perhaps that's the only thing you can do. And this woman, Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, she will be mentioned. She was memorialized for her honor. She was memorialized for her honor. She was not that Jesus needed ointment. I'm sure after he had to go and wash his feet, because his feet would be sticky. After pouring so much perfume on your feet, it's going to be sticky and all that. But you see, it's the act. She honored her Savior. She honored Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God is going to memorialize you and memorialize your existence. Are you listening to me? When you decide to honor his servants, and it's going to activate the anointing. Yes, I tell you, wherever the anointing is welcomed, is wanted, is accepted, is believed in, it works like magic. You don't even need to pray. You just stand there and it's flowing. Yeah. But where there's some kind of whatever, it's always different. So let's teach and let's preach. Honor. Honor, 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 honor. Don't look at mistakes. Mistakes exist. Yes, as for mistakes, there are more. Bible says we all make many mistakes. Stand to your feet, everybody. I want to ask to pray for a moment. Lift up your hands to the Lord and just pray for a moment.
lift your two hands and begin to thank the Lord for this wonderful time. And pray that God will minister to you. Areas don't fall short in honoring. Pray this morning and ask God for grace. For grace. What a word we have heard. Pray, pray, pray. Everybody pray. Lift your hands and pray to God. Lift your hands and pray to God. Maybe we have missed this so much. That is why we are where we are. Pray that God will give us grace to honor. Mahakato Shkiba Rakatamiribo Shkibami. Vimanero Mosibraha. Matamato Reba Babakaro Mosibrani. What a word we are hearing, what a teaching we are hearing today. What ministration of anointing, Mahandi, Zubraka, Falirimo, Shibani, Vatabato Mikisata, Mahanda Rabash, Ebrakati, Zubraka, Sandirimo, Shabani, Mahatara, Kalino, Zibradavi, Zibiribato, Rocky Bandai, Uziba, Valita Tata, Rabu Bahai, Valitiki Zubraka Sato, Miriba, Katimiribazi. The praise to the doers of the word. Pray to the doers of the word. Doers of the word. Rabatabani, Enuro Kosi, Zimikibato, Vadita, 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 Rakumba, Nizabiki, Fori, Rakobaha, Miribashi, Vilema Sotoria Kabata, Vadima Tondi Makaba, Beta Kumba Kisani, Zubraka Fani Matokalini. In the name of Jesus. Pray, keep on praying. The Lord, let our church change. Let our churches change. Let our church from this ministry of the word change our lives. Change our churches. Let honor come to us, O God. Let it come to us, O God. Let us be doers of the word. Where we are failed and fallen short. Deliver us, O God. Help us, O God, from now on. Rabbi Rimoshi. Zaniri makabato roma kisa brahata Vaniri mokabaniri mate Remito romi na ame Matumbali takamiri moshi Haa kabata nisata Zubraka sata nikozi Zimata kumbalita Vanito roka baniri mosha deri Makabali takamiri moya Mahaya 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 Roka bata reti godi Zirakondi nimashi Mahame kibota fari Ezika leis umali zumrakasa dirimota bitatata bitatata varuka bali nemo zibra tiba nini beita kulimosi mazika tibi ziba rabako limota beri ito rabata dirimoshi mayandu kebe dirimota zibrani rababa clap your hands as you pray. Clap your hands as you pray. Oh yes, pray as you clap your hands. Yes, yes, yes. Our churches are changing from this conference. Our churches are changing from this conference. Our own lives are changing. Clap your hands and pray. Keep on praying as you clap your hands. Let it happen. Let it be real. Let it be real in your church. In our lives. Let it be real in our lives. Hey! May God find doers of His word. May God find doers of His word. Rabakabali de Mosi. Zandini Bakatabiri Moshabani. Ha Makatatariabi. Zobraka Zandini Moshabani. Ikababaka Narobi Sinda Rotaba. Maita Kabata Karaba Subraka Fabi. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, yes. The years of His honor are honor his people. Through us, we will honor the men of God, the gift of God. The anointing will flow. The anointing will flow in our church. There will be no church of that anointing. There is nobody else that anointing. May the anointing be stronger in our lives. May the anointing manifest in our lives. May we not miss out on the anointing. Pray this. Pray. Something is happening in our lives. In this conference, something is happening. Something is happening. God is shaking us. Rakabakataya. Masabandiri bokabandiria. Rei batoni maseti. Jobaki sakabini boshi. Oh Jesus. Oh, give us a fresh start of your anointing, of your power. Let it be real, oh God, in every life, in every church, in every ministry. Our days of disgrace are over. Our days of dishonor are over. Honor your people, oh God. Honor your church, oh God. Let the anointing touch every life, oh God. Make a difference in every life. In the name of Jesus, we came to receive. Pour your grace in our lives, oh God. In the name of Jesus, clap your hands for the Lord.
May be seated. Now I want us to talk about barrenness. Barrenness. Now turn to Hosea. Hosea chapter number 9. And let's look at verse 14. Give them, O Lord, what will thou give them? A miscarrying womb and dry breasts. A miscarrying womb and dry breasts. Now, God is talking to his people, his own Christians or his own believers, and he's about to give them something. What is he going to give them? A miscarrying womb. Give them, oh Lord, what will you give them? A miscarrying womb and dry breasts. What is a miscarrying womb? A womb that cannot keep the baby. So when you miscarry, like you didn't carry it, it's like the opposite of carrying. It's like the opposite of a good leader is a misleader. Anyway, so what will you give them? A miscarrying womb and dry breasts. What are dry breasts? All the women here who are not breastfeeding or who are not pregnant have dry breasts. Nothing, there's no liquid coming out. Amazingly, when you have breasts, these breasts of yours don't even have milk glands. The milk glands develop when you become pregnant. So it's just a girl who's not had a baby, her breast is made of fat. Just fat. When I say fat, if you cut in, you open it, it's yellow. Just fat. All right? So the breast is dry. Having, what do you call it? Breasts that are bringing out something is the sign of having fruits, a baby, Yes. All right? So, God is saying here that I'm going to give the people a miscarrying womb. They will never have a child. And I'm going to give them dry breasts. That means that he's striking the church with barrenness. All right? Now look at verse 15. All their wickedness is in Gilgal. Therefore, I hated them. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Rebellion. When there's a lot of rebellion in the church, you have a lot of dry breasts and miscarrying. When there's a lot of rebels, disloyalty, you can't easily bear fruit. Fruits are born when you do what? When you have peace. Solomon built the temple and the city when he had peace. All right? Verse 16. Ephraim is smitten. Huh? Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. It's like God is blocking every form of fruitfulness in his anger. And notice, Ephraim, sometimes Israel was referred to as Ephraim because Ephraim was the largest tribe. So there are times when he would say Israel, then he just switched to call them Ephraim. So Ephraim was like sometimes Israel. So Ephraim is smitten and their root is dried up. The root. And they shall bear no fruit. Okay? Amazing, isn't it? And what are fruit? Young pastors. Pastors, if a pastor bears fruit, you produce after your own kind. You produce other pastors. Yes. Pastors are to produce other pastors. So we should be seeing young people as pastors. Unfortunately, in many of the cities I went around in South Africa, most of the pastors were older pastors. 50 years and above. 50 is retirement age. Numbers in the ministry. Numbers 4 and Numbers 8. You shall minister from the age of 25 up to 50. Yeah. Isn't it so? Numbers 4 or Numbers 8. Yeah. From 25 years old upwards, they shall wait upon the service of the Lord. Continue. Up until 50. Can you go on? Is there 50 up to 50? Yes. And from the age of 50, they shall cease. You are surprised. Most of you are on retirement already. Even I'm on retirement. I'm doing overtime. I'm doing extra time. You're left with 3 years to retire. Amazing. Yeah, they shall cease and they shall serve no more. Why do you think all these things are in the Bible? To give us an idea. Even a woman, you know, think about it. When does a woman have her normal cycles? From 25 or from whatever to about 50. You are no more fertile. And your reason for coming to the earth is over. To bring forth children is over. I mean, that particular function. True or not true? So you can see that it looks like fruitfulness is within a period only. So you must, young people must serve God. Serving God is not for those who are weak. and old with arthritis and lack of libido. Do you know libido? Yes. Brothers who are no more having erections, then they should be pastors. No. Wow. Are you still around? Ministry is for young people too. In fact, Jesus started his ministry by 30. He was in the ministry. Solid. So this idea that you see only gray-haired people or bald people in ministry is a sign of a lack of future ministry and future pastors, and is a bad sign for the church. Methodism, because John Wesley was going around all the time, most of the Methodists were young people, because it was an active go around ministry. John Wesley did not want his preachers to stay in one congregation intentionally, because it made them settle and settle down with one group. So he had them moving all the time, and that accounted for the youthfulness. I didn't know, I just found out recently that the Methodist movement was actually a very youthful movement when John Wesley was around, although he died at the age of 89. And he said, my pains that I used to have when I was a young man, I'm not even having them now. So even though he was in his 70s and 80s and preaching, he was youthful, and most of the people that were with him were young people. Yeah. So God wants us to produce more pastors, more leaders, more workers, missionaries, ministers. Not just stay in the church until we are so tired. And I'll tell you, older pastors can do a lot, and we have to, because many young people are not doing. So if you are over 50, look, you have to keep working. I'm sorry. You know, you have to keep working till the end. When you lie down in your coffin and you knock and you see that it's a real coffin, then you know that it's over. You get it? But until then, no rest for you. Can I have an amen? Yeah. All right? Now, it says, Ephraim or Israel or the church is smitten. Their root is dried up and they shall bear no fruit. And then he says that, okay, now even if they try to bring forth, I will slay. It's like God is saying, you will not have children. Like, this is a punishment. This is one of the most severe punishments, to not have children, spiritual children. Not biological children, spiritual children, more important than biological, more important to have spiritual children. Yes. And this is a great and severe punishment. You know, one day I had a friend whose children died. You know, it had never occurred to me what it's like for children to die till those children died. And the tragedy of it was that they couldn't have more children because they were past having children. Unlike if your spouse dies, you could actually get another spouse if you want. There's hundreds waiting in line. Yes. But there's no hundreds of children waiting to be replaced. You can't even replace them, to be reborn or to go back and be young again and to have... Yes, it's something. Yes, it's big. And so you see it in the church when there's no children. It's a wild thing. And the reason is that the root is dried up. Where they get the drinking from, the water, that place is dry. And even if they bring food, I will strike them. Next verse. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him. So people are going to be barren because they don't listen to him. They don't hear God. And they shall be wanderers among the nations of the world because they did not listen to him and to his word. Or their root is dried up. So fruitfulness comes from the word, you know, and the direction that God has for you. In Genesis 26, God told Isaac, do not go to Egypt. Do not go to Egypt. Don't go to Egypt. Stay here. I will be with you. Amen. Stay here. I will bless thee. I will make you fruitful. So, listening to the direction of the Holy Spirit, very important in bearing fruit. And that's where the art of hearing and listening to God, very, very important in bearing fruit. Listening to God. Yes. Because you see, you can never become fruitful until you start hearing God speak to you. Try doing so many things. You need to listen to God speaking to you. And when God speaks to you, you are going to be blessed. Amen. Amen. Are you excited about that? Amen. So, I need you to be open to hear the word of God. Whatever God shows you, I believe that it is a blessing for you. Amen. And he's going to show you where to be so that you can bear fruit for him. Amen. All right. Now, when you find your location where God wants you to be, after that, you must receive the seed of the word. A woman cannot become pregnant until she receives the seed. All right? So this is the major reason why we are not fruitful. Is that we are not receiving the words that God is giving to us. Through his messages, his books, the Bible. And we are not implementing it. When what does he say? Ephraim is smitten, Hosea 9. Her root is dried up, like the source. The source is what is dried up. Yeah. The source is dried. There's no source. There's no source for you. That's why you are smitten. And that's why you don't have fruit. Yeah, source is dried. You need the seed to be planted in you. And you need to go for the seed. If you watch wild animals, you'll find out that the wildest of animals, wildest of leopards, lions, if you watch them mating, you see that these wild creatures will lie down, the female, and just adjust herself to receive the seed. She's trying to show, you know, leopards don't relate. They are very lonely, like some of us, just always, you know, all alone. They don't have friends. They don't work in families. They don't work in groups. But when it's time for mating, they would come together and adjust. You see her adjusting herself like this. It's like, here it is. Here's the place. I think the sisters have to learn these strategies. For your marriage. For your marriage. Are you listening? Now, listen. You must adjust yourself to receive the seeds. I said, you must adjust yourself to receive the seed. Even if you are a lonely pastor like a leopard, you must calm down and accept not to be lonely for a period so that you can receive the seed. The roots must not be dried. You must start receiving the seed. 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 Yes. You will change. You will be fruitful when you receive the seed. You will change. You will be fruitful when you start receiving the seed. You will change. And you will be fruitful when you start receiving the seed of the word of God in your life. All right? Don't be shy. It takes humility to receive the seed. Yes. A leopard who is alone says, I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to make friends, even though it's not my nature. Lions move together in packs, but leopards live alone, hide in the trees, stay alone. I don't know why they do that. But when it's time to have fruits, they just change their pattern. There are many women, proud, walking around with beautiful dresses, high heels, what have you. When it's time to for fruit bearing, I don't need clothes now. I need seeds. I don't need clothes. I need seeds. Humility will open us to the seed that we need to change our ministry from a fruitless, barren ministry. You know something? I want to say something that you also notice in South African churches. You see one pastor with a lot of people, nobody else. It's like we don't trust ourselves. No assistants. No other pastors. Yes. No other pastors. But you need to have other people. Yeah. So you are honoring yourself. No one honors you. You are honoring yourself. And you don't have your own sons. Look, I don't need to go to church till next year. I have so many churches, and the pastors, I trust them. I've trained them. They are preaching good messages. Even my little son is preaching. Yes. I don't fear them. So, but you see, how can you do that? It's maybe something that you don't know, because maybe from the culture that you've come from, it's just one pastor with his church. Yeah. And the only person I trust is my wife. Do you have that in South Africa? Yes. And that is you are dry. You are fruitless. Yes. But you can do more. You can have more churches. You can plant churches. We have a book called Church Planting. Church planting. You can plant churches. Is that not so? Plant churches. You can have church growth. You can have church growth. You can have a mega church. You can. But you need the seed. You need the seed. So if you see a pastor who does not adjust himself, humble himself, take off his clothes, as it were, to receive the seed, don't be surprised, 5 years' time, you still have no seed. When I discovered Yonggi Cho, and he had a magazine called Church Growth, I was interested in what he had to say. And I flew all the way to Korea just to listen to what he's saying. And I'll tell you, you know what? In those days, I always heard him say, if you want to have church growth, you must have a vision. This was every issue of his magazine had that message. And I can tell you, for 20 years I was following Yonggi Cho, I never understood what you mean by you must have a vision. Because I thought every pastor has a vision. Because I had a vision to have a big church. But I found out that actually that's the most important thing if you're going to have a big church, is to have a vision for a big church, or to have a vision for church growth, or to have a vision to plant 100 churches, or to have a vision to have 100 associate pastors. I want to have 12,000 pastors. Yes, 12,000 pastors. Yes. I want to have 12,000 pastors. Not members, pastors. Yes. I want to have 12,000 my own pastors that I've ordained. What do you think? Yeah, I want more. But most people don't want more. Most people are okay. Because you've got your Jaguar, or what is the car called? Your Porsche. Your Mercedes. Your Range Rover. Your what else? Your BMW. You've got your mortgage for your house. You and your wife and your little congregation. And you are okay with yourselves. You are visionless. So when Yonggi Cho kept on saying that you must have a vision, you must have a vision, you must, I didn't think it. I said, what is he talking about? That is the main thing pastors don't have. Because if you have a vision, it will drive you. It will drive you to attend, like it drove me to Korea. It will drive me to read certain books. You see a person, you say, Macarius, we have made this thing available and affordable. This cost, in real life, what does it cost? 5,800 rands. And we have brought it to you for 800 and whatever rand. That means that one book is 20 rands, which is how many dollars? $1 and a bit. $1 is 15 rands. So it's $1 for a book. Yeah. It's a gift. You know that it's a gift. I always remember the remarks the pastor in Victoria Falls made. He said, look, pastor, you have given these books as a gift. He said, I bought one book, $40 before. One book, $40. And this is a dollar a book, virtually. This seed has been sown in your life. But some of us will not even take advantage of it. Yet you will go to ShopRite or Edgar's or Checkers. Or where? Pick and Pay. And spend 900 rands, but you don't have a Macarius, which has topics which are of interest to you. And few pastors' books are on these topics. They exist, but these are few. Church planting, church growth, that you can read and understand. And the Makane with preaching. These are the seeds. Ephraim is smitten, their root is dried up. Look, I have read books that I refused to allow to finish. As the book is finishing, I say, you can't finish. No, you can't finish. It's the last chapter, but I'm going back. I have read certain books for years and years. I refuse to allow the root to dry. The root will not dry up. Ephraim is smitten, their root is dried up, they shall bear no fruit. And even if they bring forth, I will kill all the children. It's like there's not going to be any children. No fruit, no pastors, no young pastors. There must be associates sitting in your church, series of them all lined up, not you and your wife. Look. If you want the church to work, you need pastors in each generation. Not just your generation. Many of my pastors are in my generation. Our ages are around the same. And that's what always happened. John Wesley and Charles Wesley, they were brothers. John Wesley died and Charles Wesley died first, and John Wesley died 3 years later. He wept and wept and wept when his brother died. Then the person they had planned to take over, John Fletcher, also died. He died before John Wesley died. And he was the one that John, everybody knew John Fletcher was their successor. It was like Stephen in the Bible. Everyone thought Stephen was going to be the successor to Peter. Then he died. He was killed. What a shock. Yeah. Now who is going to take over? So we need young faces as pastors. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Young men. Yes. And your testosterone levels. The very thing that drives you, your interest in sex and your interest in males and females, is also what gives you energy and the drive. Yes. It's true. That's the reality. It's medicine. That's the thing. So even though you have always these sensations and you notice all beautiful things around you, you also have more of a drive for God. That's why they castrate dogs. Because it's dangerous. It's too aggressive. So they castrate and he becomes cool. I remember one time I visited my wife. She was with her friend, you know. And when I got to the house, that time we were not married. When I got there, I saw her. I was so happy. So I was going towards her. Then I saw behind her a dog that was almost as tall as she was. Something like this. Like a kind of a little cow. Do you understand? But it was a dog. When I saw the dog, I ran away. And she said, no, this is nothing. It's nobody. It's not powerful. Castrated. No power. No power. No drive. No force. No energy for prayer. Cannot wake up in the night to pray. Cannot go out on the street witnessing. Cannot travel. Is castrated. Has no drive. So she just, the dog was like a sheep to her. Hey, I was scared. I don't even know whether I still came in, because the sight of the dog and the size. But you see, you may look big and great, but when that element, that fire is gone, that's why God said from the age of 25 to 50, this is the best time. Yes, to bear fruit, to have children, to work for God, to serve God, to fight, to build. It's when you are young, it's the best. So pastors who are preventing young people from being allowed to rise up, you are blocking the best people that we need in the church. Hallelujah. And we know when we are young that we have problems. We know. Yes. We are always feeling sensations. Sensations and temptations. But there's one verse that is always encouraging us. Do you know the verse? Elijah was a man of like passions. Elijah was just like us. Young with feelings. A man of like passions. Thank God for Elijah. A man with similar feelings and sensations and erections and other things like that. Yeah, not one passion, passions. Is it amazing? How many young people want to serve the Lord? How many young people want your pastors to allow you to serve the Lord? I want to also serve the Lord. In the book of Numbers, it says from 20 years onwards, everyone that is ready for war at 20. Look at it in Numbers chapter 1. All he mentions several. He says number them from 20 and upwards that are ready for war. Ready at 20. Any member in your church 20 years old and upward, if you can look at pornography, if you can have sex, if you can smoke, if you can steal, if you can do all the bad crimes, then you can preach at 20. You can sing at 20. You can shout at 20. You can fast at 20. You can pray at 20. Yes. Yes. 20-year-olds. Many 20-year-olds are in prison for crimes. Hardly can you find a virgin who is 20 years old. They are professionals by the age of 20. Hey! Some started when they were 12 years old, 11 years old, 13 years old. They became active. Hey! And if you can be doing every sexual sin and every bad thing at the age of 70, why can't you be leading a choir? Why can't you lead a choir at the age of 17? Why can't you preach by the age of 18? Why can't you pray all night by the age of 19? Why can't you fast for 21 days at the age of 18? When you can go to war by the age of 20. Ready at 20. Ready at 20. Not ready at 50. Or ready at 70. Ready at 20 for war. Yeah. Why not? Yeah, why not? Now, these words. This is what William Carey, the great missionary to India. This is what he said. These are his words. And then after that, Adoniram Judson, the famous missionary to Burma. He died there. He died on the sea. His body was thrown into the water. These are their words. These are what they said. Listen.
Ready at 20, ready for the war. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. There is nothing I can't do, oh, for the Lord. There is nowhere that's too far, no battle I can't fight. Ready at 20.
William Carey.
To this glorious mission unreservedly.
These are the words of William Carey.
Let us never think that our time, our strength, our families are our own.
This is what he said.
Let us dedicate them all to God and to His word. Let us give ourselves is holy, that our prophet in may appear ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20, ready for a war. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God.
William Carey.
Are we justified in staying here while so many are perishing without means of grace in other lands? We must take every chance of doing good to the lost. Oh yeah. We will be laboring, we'll be traveling day and night.
William Carey. That's
ready at 20.
He's a great missionary to India.
I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God.
He died in India. He never came back to his country. He preached all his life and translated the Bible.
We must instruct.
Listen.
We must teach, exhort, rebuke, and preach the word.
Hey.
With all long suffering and an anxious desire for the lost.
An anxious desire for the lost.
We must be instant in prayer for the pouring out of the sweet Holy Spirit. Upon all the people ready at 20.
Wow.
I'll be ready at 20, ready for the world.
He said we must pray for the Holy Spirit
ready
to fall
at 20
on the whole world. William Carey.
I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God.
While
to push ourselves with all our might in promoting the gospel and the kingdom of our Christ, ready at 20.
Adoniram Jackson, that's his words.
I'll be ready at 20.
He wrote it. These are his words. Listen.
God is gracious. Do not run away from Him.
Do not run away from God.
A few more days.
A few more days.
And our work down here will be done.
Our work will be done.
When it's done for eternity. Your lifespan is irrevocable. It remains to be contemplated through all eternity, ready at 20.
Wow.
I'll be ready at 20, ready for
when your life is done, it's irrevocable.
20.
It remains to be contemplated for all eternity, what you did.
I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. I'll be ready at 20, ready for the
God is gracious.
God is gracious. Do not run away.
telling people, don't run away from
a
God.
A few more days. And our work down here will be done. When it's done for eternity.
Wow.
Your life spent is irrevocable. It remains to be contemplated throughout all eternity. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God.
Turn to Revelation chapter 10. How many are going to release your young people? Oh, not about release. You have to train them. Many young people just want to serve God. They have energy. Tell us what to do. The same energy. You see, it was young people, I am sure, that brought down apartheid. I don't think it was old people. I'm sure the young people, the students. These young people have the energy and the passion. If you give them a cause to fight for or to stand for, they will stand for it, they will fight for it. Why is it that we don't call on them and give them a cause for Christ? Yes. It's because of what they are eating. We are feeding them prosperity every day. Get a house, get a car, be a businessman. And so everybody in church, he just sees church as a place to come for a little bit of hope and a little bit of encouragement, but not as a place to come and hear your calling. When the Bible says many are called in our lives and our churches, you might as well say few are called. Hey! He said, I saw, look at this angel. And now I'm making a direct approach. He says, I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. I'm talking about barrenness. And this cloud, there was a rainbow on his head. All right? And it was, his face was like the sun. Huh? And his feet were like pillars of fire. Amazing, amazing angel. Now notice verse 2. Very important verse in the Bible. This Revelation 10. Very, very important. He had in his hand a little book, not money. He just had a book. Tell somebody, no money in the angel's hand, a book. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. Can you imagine? Even in Cape Town, from here to the sea, if you had somebody whose legs stand here, what area is this? Barrow. Paro. From Paro to the harbor. Up. It's a big one. This is the biggest angel ever recorded in history. Largest. There's no bigger angel ever seen than this one. That's why I think some of the angels are stars. Some of the stars we are seeing are angels. They're so huge. Anyway, and he cried with a loud voice as when he had cried, the seven thunders uttered their voice. All right, verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake to me and said, go where? And take the little book. Huh? This is the food, the roots. When God wants to bless you many times, he introduces you to a book. Help me with my volume so I don't have to shout, please. When God wants to bless you, many times he introduces you to a book. Just a book. And he says, go to the angel. And the Bible says, and sometimes the angel is actually a man. That's why the Bible says, do not be careful not to entertain angels. Because many have entertained angels unaware. Don't be nice to strangers, because some of the human beings are angels. So sometimes God sends a man, a brother, a Christian with a book in his hand. I can still see a man walking into my house with a little book in his hand. And he gave me the little book called Plead Your Case by Kenneth Hagin. He was an angel sent from God. That's why when he died, I honored him. Even though he was not in my church or my ministry, I honored him. Because I remember him coming to my house with that book. Read this book. It's a powerful book. Back. Verse 8. Go and take the little book. Go and take the little book. Which is open. Huh? Which is open in the hand of the angel which stands on the sea on the earth. One leg in Darling Harbor. What's your harbor called? Cape Town Harbor. Okay. Sydney, Australia. The harbor is called the Darling Harbor. So anyway, then I went to the angel and I said to him, which could be a man, please give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. Not read. Eat the book. You don't benefit from books you read. You benefit from books you eat. The difference between eating and reading is that when you eat, it becomes part of your meat. That's why you put on weight. So if you eat 10 hamburgers, they dissolve and they come and join your bottoms and your chest and everywhere. So when you start to digest a book like church planting, the art of hearing, loyalty and disloyalty, you digest it until it becomes part of you. You even speak, people even think you wrote the book. True. You see, when I preach, you don't know how I have received from people. I can tell you everything I learned, where I learned it from. Because I learned everything from somebody. Everyone learns from somebody. If you are interested, we are all learning from somebody, somewhere. That has to say, humble yourself and adjust yourself and receive the seed. Then he said, take, eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but in thy mouth shall be sweet. That means you are supposed to experience the sweetness and the bitterness. You see, as I'm preaching to you, there are some parts that are sweet. And there are some parts that are bitter. If you come to church only expecting to hear things that are sweet, you made a big mistake. There are some bitter sections. And some people don't want to hear anything bitter. You hear something bitter, you get angry. But pastors must learn that God's word and the ministry is not only nice, it also has parts that are not nice. And all go together. It's mysterious. All right? It's not only nice. I'm telling you, if you think it's only nice, you are new. Verse 10. And by the way, you never see the nasty parts of ministry till you stay long enough. You have to stay around for some time, then you see the nasty parts. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as it had gone deeper, it became bitter. I wasn't laughing anymore. I laughed when I heard the message at first. I laughed and laughed and almost fell over. But after some time, I realized that it's serious, man. The thing was not a joke. Many people laugh when I'm preaching. And later they find out that we were laughing, but it's true. Now look at what's going to happen after. What do you think is going to happen after eating such a book? This is the marvel of Revelation chapter 10. the marvel of Revelation chapter 10. What's going to happen next? You know how a film says, coming up, continue tomorrow. Verse 11. Then he said to me, the one who has eaten the book, you must now prophesy or preach, okay, to many people. After eating the book. Your ministry is radically transformed from few people to many people. Then you must now speak to many nations. Look at me preaching in South Africa. To many nations. I've been in many countries. And many of you, the day you start eating certain things, you become pregnant with certain babies, spiritual babies. You will be called to go and deliver those babies in certain places. And then tongues. Tongues. If you watch even our film that we show, you see different interpretations. Sometimes Afrikaans, sometimes Zulu, sometimes Sotho, some different. You will need interpreters. I never needed an interpreter in my life and ministry. I never needed an interpreter. But now I need interpreters all the time. I have interpreters all the time. At first, when I had an interpreter, I would be irritated. I said, oh, we don't need an interpreter. But when I found this verse, I realized that it's a sign of promotion that you are speaking to many tongues. So I started being happy with interpreters. So come and interpret. At first, I was irritated. They slow you down, you know. Your 30 minutes becomes 15 minutes preaching. And then, kings. You speak to kings. Is it not amazing? Yes. So I prophesy to you now. Huh? If you take these books seriously, huh? That we have made, and that's why I'll make the great effort to bring it to you. Yes. Because if you soak in these books, you will change. Because that's what happened to me. That's why to me it's so important. Yes, it transformed me. You prophesy again before many people, many nations, countries. By God's grace, we are going to have Give Thyself Holy Conference in Cameroon, in Gabon, in Ethiopia, different nations. Yeah. I've just finished a crusade in Zimbabwe. I've been to so many towns in Zimbabwe. Yes, preaching. Preach. The ability to go, the money. This book means that you will have the money. You will have whatever you need. You have the people. That's what it means. For many nations. Unless you don't believe the Bible. Go and take the book. Read it. Go and take the book. Read it. You see, you need the seed. The seed is the main thing that makes you fruitful. When you don't have books, you don't have tapes. I'm not talking about books you can't read. Something you can't understand. You know, one time, this famous preacher, everybody knows him on TV. I don't want to mention his name in case you think I'm saying something negative about him. But I got his book. He had his book. So I got his book and was reading. I couldn't understand what he was saying. So I remember I had to give to my wife, what is he saying? But my wife knows so many things. So I give it to her to read and explain the book to me. I don't understand what he's saying in the book. So it's not every book you understand, but there are some books you start to understand. And say, yes. It's sweet. Initially, you start to see that it's working. That's the book. That's the book. Don't be shy or proud to receive the book. Your ministry and your future depends on your reading. Look, I'll tell you a story, and it's a true story. I know you won't believe, but it's a true story. Shall I tell you? One day, There was a certain man who had race horses. Horses. He had his big stable, and his horse became the champion horse in the world. Fastest. Best. Hey! My father had race horses too. He had horses, beautiful horses. He had a horse called Panorama, Miracle, Why Worry, C'est la vie. Many beautiful horses. Great horse. Powerful horses. Anyway, but his horse was a champion horse. This guy, really powerful. And one day he said, my horse is in danger of falling down one day and dying. So I have a plan. I'm not going to let my horse go racing anymore. Although he was winning and the best. I'm going to put my horse up for crossing. Crossing is another word for sex, or it's another word for breeding. Yes. So I was watching the documentary. I couldn't believe my eyes. He put his horse and said, for advert, one weekend, if you have your female, you bring her for a weekend. Do you know how much he was charging to have a weekend with his champion? Huh? Do you know how much he was charging? Shall I tell you? 30 million rands per weekend. 30 million, that's $2 million. 30 million rands. Yeah. Not just for what? I don't think it's per session. I think it's for weekend, or I don't know how they were calculating the time, but it was like you bring your horse, it's $2 million. Wow. So what were they charging for? They were charging for the seed. It's like the seed is so expensive. If you have this seed, it's going to be so valuable. Yes. It shows you how powerful a seed is. And the Bible says in Mark 4 that the word of God is the seed. So when you receive a book, like I received a book, I received a seed. You see, the day this guy handed me the book like that, he was giving me, you see, the sower soweth the word. He was giving me my ministry. He was giving me my church buildings. He was giving me my members. He was giving me my businessmen who support me. He was giving me my crusades. He was giving me my trucks and cars. He was giving me all the money that was just like this. It's like this. Yeah, that's why the guy was charging 30 million rands per weekend. Because the guy who gave me the book, it's more than 30 million rands he gave me. More. One building alone can cost $2 million. So when you come for a conference like this and you have a Macarius, you have the Macane and other materials available, you must, no matter how old you are, start to adjust yourself. And receive the seed. Man. Behave like Sarah. 90 years old. She came to Abraham and said, man, I'm ready for you. Ready at 90.
Ready at 90. Ready for the seed.
Nobody here should say you are too old for the seed. Even though many of us should have retired by now, because of the absence of many young people, you are going to have to continue for much longer. I'm sorry. Are you ready to continue?
Yes.
Then you have to adjust yourself.
Yes.
You have to do what? Adjust yourself. To receive what? The seed. Hey! If you don't humble yourself, the seed is not going to come into you. And if the seed does not come into you, no fruits. I can't imagine what Abraham had a meeting with Sarah. Said, listen, Sarah, I want to discuss something with you, you know. It's been 28 years since we last did this thing. But because of the prophetic word that we heard from the angel of the Lord, Sarah, you have to turn yourself into a 25-year-old exciting creature. Hey! You have to go and buy a new 90. You've been looking like a nun all these years. But now, we are going back humble. We are going humble again. I can't imagine Sarah. Ready at 90. To receive a seed. Do not allow yourself to get old before you are dead. Once you are not in the grave, let there be a young heart in you. When you are finally in the coffin, you check, you knock up. And if you see that you are really there, then you just sleep. But until then, I said until then, until then, until then, until then, you must have a young spirit. There are many people who suffer from what we call premature aging. Premature aging. Hey! Sometimes you see some ladies, you ask them, how old are you? You think that she's about, 59. But she's just 31. 31, you are acting like you are 76. Why? Premature aging. Do you know that even those who do pornography, there are sections for grandmothers? Yes, sections. Elderly women. Hey! They have not retired. Grandmothers and grown-ups. You would have thought that it's just 20, whatever. There are 75 grannies ready. And you look at your age and you have given up everything already. You're just happy to be sitting in your Jaguar, happy to be sitting in your Mercedes Benz. You have become an old queen who can no longer move. From today, the spirit of acrobatics is coming back into you in Jesus' name. Christianity needs young people.
Amen.
Christianity needs old men who have a young heart like John Wesley. Yes, we need more John Wesleys. Gray hair, 70 years, 80 years old. They are never tired. They work harder than the young people. I read a book. It was talking about John Wesley. He said, John Wesley wakes up and has finished 4 hours of work, 4 hours of prayer and traveling before the professors who despise him have gotten out of their beds. Yes, that's what they wrote about him. He said, 4 hours before these professors who despised him, they despised him in his day. They despised him, John Wesley. Before they woke out of their snoring, he had risen up, prayed, preached, traveled, is on his horse, moving. Before these despising, proud professors looked down on him and despised him. Look, I tell you, all of us who are old, and me, I'm younger in my behavior than many of even my young members. Yes, my these young children, I ask whether they are stronger than me. Yes, and I don't mind. I don't mind if, you know, I look young to you, or my preaching sounds like a young person, or my music sounds like, you know, I don't really care what you think. If I was to care what you think, I don't think I'll be standing here. I'll be quietly in my little cocoon trying to preserve my image. No. Lay hands on your neighbor and say, receive youthfulness in Jesus' name. Receive the spirit of the antelope. The spirit of the gazelle. The spirit of aerobics. The spirit of the dancer. The spirit of gymnastics. You need it. You cannot die before you are dead. You cannot die before you are dead. Please. Yes. I'm keeping everybody in my church very young. One day, I saw some fat members of my church, and I called them. I said, come. I said, I'm going to form a dancing group with you. And this dancing group is going to be called the Hippos. So, last Sunday, two Sundays ago, the Hippos came to dance. Hey! They were wilder than the antelopes. Everybody must stay young in the church. Why? So that you can receive the seed. You would think that youthfulness is not important. But youthfulness from 25 to 50 is very important. Fertility, fruitfulness. He says, their root is dried. Ephraim is smitten. The root is dried. The root is dry. The source is dry. Yes. A young person, catch children, put them together and say, I'm teaching you. They'll say, yes, teacher, all of them. Catch proud old people, say, you are teaching them. They'll say, what is he saying? They'll say, it's your opinion. I see the spirit of youthfulness entering you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tell somebody, I'm ready for any book, and I'm going to read every book that there is. I'm going to get any and every single book. Oh, yes. Now, barrenness. I'm just going to be ending with this, but listen. How there are five Hebrew words that are used to describe barrenness. The first one is akar, A-Q-A-R. A-Q-A-R. It's found in Genesis 11 verse 30, Judges 13 verse 2. It's, this word means the destruction or removal of the generative organs. All right? So, in such cases, they are, the generative part of the church is not working. Like the outreach part, crusade part doesn't work. The witnessing aspect of your church. So akar, A-Q-A-R, Hebrew, it means, so because barrenness doesn't only have one word that is translated barren, like love. Like love has agape love, eros, and filial, and so on. The same thing for barrenness. Barrenness doesn't have only one word. Barren has different words which mean something a little different. So Sarah was barren. She had no child. This verse, the barren there is akar, which means the outreach part. You see, the hydraulics, the youthful part, gone, not working. All right? The second important word is melecha. Melecha. And all this you can find in my book, Church Planting. This book here. I'm reading it from the book to you. Church Planting. Chapter number. Chapter 11. Melecha. It means Shako. Where's my glasses? I'm seeing. This means to be bereaved of children. Shakol. S-H-A-K-O-L. Leviticus 26 verse 22. To be bereaved of children. To cast your young. All right? These are churches which cannot keep the children that are brought to you. These are pastors who cannot keep young men as pastors. You lose the children that come. So this shackled barrenness is to be bereaved or deprived of your young people. Shackle. Shackle. S-H-A-K-O-L. Shackle is a Hebrew word. It's found in Leviticus 26:22. He says, I will send beasts among you which will rob you of your children. So sometimes we have churches and there are young men and the beasts of drugs and other crimes and sins come and rob us of our children and make them into criminals rather than pastors. And make them into everything else other than a minister of the gospel. And it's almost like to be in the ministry is for an old man. Shako. Where are the young people? Where are the 20s? Pastors in their 20s, pastors in their 30s, pastors in their 40s, not only pastors in their 60s and 50s. Shackle is to bereave. He says, I will send wild beasts. So you have children. Like you've given birth, but I'll send beasts and they will take your children. They will eat your children. So the beasts in Cape Town, the beasts in South Africa, robbing the church of its wonderful young men, turning the young men into wild animals. Turning the young men into evil creatures instead of wonderful singers and ministers of the gospel. Whatever beast is eating up your children here is cursed today in Jesus' name. Yeah. The third type of barrenness is from the Hebrew word melecha. M-E-L-E-C-H-A-H. 2 Kings 2:19. This means 2 Kings 2:19. You see that in the case of Elisha, it says, the man of the city said to Elisha, behold, the situation, okay, is in this city, is pleasant as my Lord seeth. Okay? But the water is not, and the ground is barren. Now, the word melecha, this Hebrew is not aka, and it's not shackle. It's different. It's a different word, and it's shek melecha, and it means a salted land. Salty land. So it's like the salted land is said that whatever you pour into it, nothing works. You pour into it, it can't grow because it's salt. And you know, like by the sea, only coconut trees can grow. Most things cannot grow by the sea because of the salt. Yes. And there are people who are such that no matter what you preach to them, what books they've bought, whatever they hear, they don't change. And such people do not want to change most of the time. Do not humble themselves and obey what they hear. They just love to hear, but will not do any of the things they hear. So like I can preach 1,000,000,000 times, encourage you to get books, listen to messages, you'll still be looking at it. Many places are suffering from melecha. They are salted lands where nothing affects you. Like you can hear the most heaven and earth moving sermon, you will still not. You just look and say, hey, you can really preach, you know. Or sometimes you preach and preach and preach and they say, hey, this man, is he never tired? Or you preach and preach and they say, hey, he's very passionate about what he's saying. Hey, this man is very emotional. Hey, you are a salted land. Salted land. Melecha. So aka is what? The destructive of the degenerative organs. The outreach, the going out part of you is not working. Either there's sperms, the structures, hydraulics, no erections, no, the organs, Sarah's organs. Bible calls it the deadness of Sarah's womb, or the deadness of her sexuality. She was virtually a cadaver. And then shackle is, you have the children, but the beasts come and deprive you of your children, take them away. You have the young men, beautiful girls. They come, they start in the church when they are little. They watch videos of Samson, David, and they are all like little children. As soon as they get a little older, become teenagers, the beast come to take them away, and you don't have these people anymore in the church. And there's nothing in the church to keep such nice young people. Yes. And God is teaching us to break out of all types of barrenness. Some churches have become salted because you will never open yourself to certain messages. Oh yes, sometimes the pastor is the one who inhibits. You know, a pastor can sit there and he's like, his face and his attitude inhibits the preaching to the people. You know, as I'm preaching here, then Pastor Chris will be telling me here, I'm preaching too short. I should preach longer. I should preach longer. It's too short. I should continue. But some people will be sitting there. Make it as well. It's not that we don't understand what you are saying, but you know, it's 1 o'clock and you know, it's whatever, you know. And over here in South Africa, you know, we have lunch at this time, and you know, and you see the person's face that is something he's not so happy about. Hey! The fourth type is the otser, O-T-S-E-R, barrenness. Otser, O-T-S-E-R. And that means to be closed up or to be restrained. Yes, closed up. Proverbs 30 verse 16. The grave and the barren womb. Closed up, restrained. Huh? Yes. Now, such people who are closed up and restrained, you know, when it comes to church, people hold back. Yeah. And you can easily be barren because you hold back. But maybe when it comes to politics, they give themselves. You see them on television talking. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I think that this is what they come and sit in church quietly. They hold back in church. They don't give their money to church. They give their money to politics. When they are in church, they hold back money. They hold back their life. They hold back their gifts. They hold back their talents. They sing for the world. They don't sing for the church. When they are in church, they are holding back. When you hold back, I tell you, you'll be barren. And in real life too. Yes. One day, I met a lady and her husband. They couldn't have a baby. And I asked her, do you have sex? One of the main causes of not having a child is not having sex. Why are you laughing? Have I said something funny? It's amazing. Yes. Somebody who wants to have children, they don't have sex. Commonest. They lie by each other like pieces of wood. And restrained. And I told this lady and her husband, I said, are you serious? I said, we are serious. So I gave them a strategy that would release their souls. Do you want to know the strategy I gave them? I will not tell you that strategy. And the strategy worked. She lost her restraint. He lost his restraint. I gave him the master key. And they had a baby and they named the baby Dag. Give the Lord a shout of hallelujah. Number five. The fifth word. I was just telling you that five words. Tsiyah. T-S-I-Y-A-H. Isaiah 41 verse 18. Tsiyah. This word means being parched and barren. Drought. Dry. Dry. Hey. Dry. It says in Isaiah 41. Verse 18, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys, and I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Dry. The dry land is the barren land. Hallelujah. Now, the dryness comes from the lack of the Holy Spirit, the lack of the anointing. The Holy Spirit is out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So as you take on the Holy Spirit and receive the Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit, God changes everything. New songs, worship songs, brings life. Yes, beautiful songs. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and songs. Spiritual. So when you are filled with, you can be filled with the Spirit through music. That's why Ida's music is so important. Be filled. Be filled. Ephesians 5. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Music that is spiritual is very important to you being filled. Look at verse 18. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What does this mean? Look. What does this mean? This one. What's this? Huh? Semicolon, what does it mean? What does it mean? That is to say, speak to yourselves in psalms. Speak. The song must speak. Any song that's not speaking to you, not good song. Any song that's not speaking to you, not a good song.
Right.
You must have song that speak
right.
to you in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs. Speaking and making melody in your heart to the Lord. One day somebody came to my church, and as he was listening to me, he said, any young person who comes here will say he will never leave this church. Because it is speaking. It's beautiful. And then finally, two Greek words that also mean barrenness. One is steiras. This is Greek. New Testament is Greek. Old Testament is Hebrew. S-T-E-I-R-A-S. And it's Luke 1:7. Luke 1:7. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren. This word means stiff and unnatural. Stiff and what?
Unnatural.
Everybody say stiff. And unnatural. How many want to marry someone who is stiff? Brothers, do you want to marry someone who is stiff? Do you want to marry somebody who has power steering? When you just tap, it's just rotating beautifully. Wow. Has she got power steering? Did you get a car? Wow. Stiff. Touch screen. iPad. Touch. Touch. And then it's working. Eesh. God wants people who are not stiff. You sit in church. You don't smile. You don't say amen. You don't laugh. When there's some people, you just look as if you don't know anything about sex. Hey! Meanwhile, the things you've done before, only God knows what you've done in this life. Only God knows, has an idea of the things you've done. And you sit there stiff and unnatural, as if you don't even... Some of you, you behave as though when you go to poo-poo, it's diamonds which come out. Diamonds that come out of you. Hey! Like when you sit down and the diamonds are coming out. Diamonds. Somebody, I'm no more stiff and unnatural. And the last word, agos. Agos. 2 Peter 1:8. These are the causes of barrenness. And we are ending with this. Agos. Please, nobody should go out now. Please, I beg you. I'm issuing the instruction so that we end well. It says, this word means inactive, lazy, useless. 2 Peter 1:8. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be agos, which is lazy. Many pastors are lazy. I'm sorry to say. Laziness is one of the amazing traits of pastors. You shall neither be lazy, useless, and inactive. Thank God for churches with activities. Thank God for churches with activities. Thank God for churches with activities. Yeah. It makes you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. And each of these types of barrenness shows you, because of its cause, each one you can modify. What's the first type of barrenness? Aka. What is that? To do what? Your generative organs are not working. Are your generative organs working from today?
Yes.
What are your generative organs? Your crusades, your outreaches, your witnessing, your door-to-door ministry, your invitations, the outreach part of you. must start working from today. And you are breaking out of barrenness and emptiness and dryness in your churches. Number two, what's the second type? Shackle. What does shackle mean? To be bereaved of your children by beasts. Are you going to sit down for the beast of the world to come and take your young people and your young men and the young people that God is calling? It will never happen again in South Africa in Jesus' name. Yes. It will not happen anymore. Amen. What's the third type of barrenness? Melecha. What does it mean? Salted land. Never changing. Nothing works on you. I tell you, Jesus Christ himself can come and preach to you personally. There will be no implementation of nothing. You can sit here for 19 hours. There will be no change, no implementation. Nothing will change. But I see many changes coming about in your life and in your ministry. Melecha. What is the fourth type of barrenness? Huh? Otse. And what does that mean? Restrained. Closed up. Hey! Can you be closed up and receive a seed? When the seed is coming, you say, whatever is in your heart that is closed up is opening today in Jesus' name. I say it's opening today in Jesus' name. God is touching your life and opening your soul and your heart that you can receive from God. What is the fifth type of Hebrew barrenness? Tia. What does it mean? Dry. Parched ground. No water. No spirit. You come with your message from the internet to preach to us. As a pastor. A dry message that you've preached 285 times. The same thing without the spirit. Many times people ask me, what are you going to preach? How can I know what I'm going to preach? I have to be led by the Spirit. Spirit has to lead me. What do I say to these people? I don't just come with some rigid something that has been prepared, some old porridge that has, you know, there's some food sometimes it stays in the kitchen and guess what? You cannot recognize that. What was the original food that was here? What the original food in this pot? And we come up with old dry messages. One day I met somebody. He said, I'm leaving my church. I said, why? He said, because I know all my pastor's messages. Yes. And he started to mention his pastor's messages. 1, 2, 3. This is all. The Bible said, behold, I do a new thing. There are many new things. The Bible says, a good household that brings out of his treasure old and new things. Not only old things. You have to have a mixture of old and new to be a good householder. A good householder. Alright? You bring both new and old. Fresh and old. The old is necessary because people, you think they know, but they don't know. And new is necessary because you need some newness. Freshness. Wow. Is it amazing? He says, a man that is a householder, he bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. New and old.
You see, I know the best messages, and I have a set of 27 messages. These, I rotate them every year. It's what we need. It's what we need. 27 of them. Wow.
One day, a man came to Korea to preach from America. Very powerful message. This was during the Vietnam War. And Yonggi Cho was his interpreter. And the man from America started to preach about Vietnam politics in America. And as Yonggi Cho was interpreting, he said to himself, this Vietnam politics is not applying to us here in Korea. Nobody knows what is happening in Vietnam, America politics. So he said, as the man was preaching, Vietnam war, the power of God, and President of America has declared independence, and he was talking, then Yogi Cho will preach a different message altogether. He preached a different message. And he said, Korea, it's not connected to English at all. Every sentence ends with shimmy shimmy da. When you hear shimmy da, then it's Korean. Every word ends with shimmy da. Then you know that it's Korean. So you can't tell what they are saying. So as the guy was talking, the independence and the president of America and the Senate and the representative, United States, Chicago, hey. Then your Gicho was preaching. And the people were clapping. Hey, then the man thought that his message was very powerful. So he started preaching more. Vietnam, Vietnam, Vietnam. You see, you should have come to see what was happening there before you bring this package message on Vietnam to these Koreans who don't need this Korean message, Vietnam message. One day, I went to Dubai, yeah, and I was taken to a factory, and I became disturbed about what I saw. Do you know? Want to know why I was disturbed? Because it's not really a factory, like an industrial kitchen. And then they said, this is how they make food here. Hey! They were showing the different things. And then they showed me, they said, the airline food. They said, this food is made months before. Months! Yeah! Months, he said, nothing less than 6 months. It's been there. They put it in. I said, how many want to eat food that is 6 months old? Hey! Anyway, already I had gone off airline food. I had already, before I go on the plane, I've satisfied myself with all protocols. I don't depend on airline food. So it's those who've been eating that thing. 7 months old. You see the bread that you think is fresh bread. Fish. It has been that they've come in, put things in it. For, I don't know how they do it. Please, I don't know which airline it is. Oh, maybe it is. It wasn't one airline. They make for all the airlines. Yeah, one kitchen makes for so many airlines. They have contracts. But I don't know. Please, don't quote me. I beg you. Don't dissociate from me. I please. What is the next type of barrenness? Steras. Which one is steras? Stiff. Natural. How many want to be with someone who is stiff and unnatural? Yeah. How many want to marry somebody who's like an antelope? All these people don't want antelopes. You want crocodiles. Eh? You want crocodile. The crocodiles like them. Hey! Some people are more than crocodile. You think the crocodile is dead? Sometimes the mouth is open. Do you want a crocodile or an antelope? And what's the last type of barrenness? Argos. What is Argos? Huh? Lazy. Useless. Today marks the end of barrenness in your ministry. Today marks the end of emptiness in your ministry. Today marks the end of dryness in your ministry. In the name of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Isaiah 54 as we close. We're closing. Reach! Verse 1. Sing, O barren that did not bear. Good news. Break forth into singing. Cry aloud, thou that didst not travail. All of you whose churches have not been working, ministries have not been working well. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. This is the sermon of William Carey. Yes, this is the sermon, the song that she was singing. William Carey's famous sermon. William Carey is a famous missionary to India. And his famous sermon was, enlarge your tent. He said, obligations of Christians. He wrote a book called Obligations of Christians to the Heathen of the World. He says, we have an obligation. And we must enlarge our tent, expand and expect great things from God. And that's what he said, let me go to India. Let me do something for God. William Carey. And later on, Adoniram Judson came up and went to Burma. Yeah. You see, if you're going to break out of emptiness, he was nothing, he was nobody. If you're going to break out, you have to enlarge your tent. Expect great things and attempt great things. This is the sermon of William Carey. And he wrote a book called Obligations of Christians to the Heathen of the World. He said, we owe it to them to go. We cannot sit here and leave the heathen of the world to die. It's an obligation that every Christian has. This is how you break out of barrenness, is to enlarge and expect and attempt better and greater things for God. This is his message. This is his message. Obligations. He says, enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains. Spare not. Spare not. How many agree with me? Spare not. We are not going to spare any effort, any money, any time. We are not sparing anymore. Hallelujah. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left hand, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities or churches to be inhabited. Give the Lord a shout of hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your love for your people and your love for your church. And your love for your pastors. Thank you that it's time to attempt great things for God. It's time to expect great things. Thanks for the obligation that we have in serving you to the very end. I pray for everyone here that you touch our hearts and our lives to expect great things from and for you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you that we are breaking out of whatever inhibitions, unnatural stiffness, laziness, and uselessness that has befallen us. We break out in Jesus' name. We release our young ones. We say our young ones will not be granted over to the beasts of this nation and to wickedness in the world. We thank you that your servants, Lord, are rising and going forth, bearing much fruit for your glory. We give you praise, Jesus. We give you thanks, Lord. We lift our hands and we say, fill us with your mighty spirit. Take away the spirit of emptiness and barrenness. Dryness, Lord. Dryness, the desolate wilderness. Let it be taken away. Let it be replaced with green fields. Expand us, Lord. Cause us to see greater things and do great things. Take away the desolation, the uninhabited churches and uninhabited cities. Let your children break forth on the right and on the left. cause us to inherit the spaces and inherit the members and the people. Oh, la shimbo, kando, simbe, lik, renasto, la malama, andala, babasha. Thanks, Father. Thanks for your blessing. Thanks for your blessing. Receive the grace for enlargement and expansion. Receive the grace for fruitfulness. Whatever root in your life is dried up, today it is healed. Whatever dryness has come to your river and to your stream, it is revitalized today. Yabola satalabaka. The river is flowing again. The stream is flowing again. The power of the Holy Ghost is flowing through your life and through your ministry again. The grace of God is flowing all over your life and your ministry. We give you praise, Jesus, and we thank you for the wonders that you have accomplished. And everyone shouted amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Please don't walk out at this moment. Please, please, please. God is blessing us mightily. Amen. Take out your offering, your envelopes. If you had your envelopes, please take them out and bring them to the front right away as we close this session. What a blessing. If you have your envelopes, envelope offerings, you can just bring them right now to the front. Whatever you have, whatever you intended for the Lord, God is blessing. God is enlarging your tent. God is making you do more than you've ever done. God is honoring you. God is blessing you. Thanks, Jesus. Thanks, Jesus, for all the people that are remembering to honor you and honor your work. We love you. You need an envelope. Can I have an envelope, please? Yeah, right here. Thank you, sir.